because I mean the two things that you just associated, I asked you about tough seasons in life and you said marriage. I think the part of the reason why that's so hard for us is because before we get married, I think we all have this expectation that like marriage is when you've arrived to the good old days. Like it's like it, this is when your problems are fixed and you know there's just bliss and happiness and you ride off into the sunset and then that's the end, you know, like. I'm Wyatt Martin, and you're listening to First Look, Alderwood Community Church's podcast, where we take a look a week ahead at what's coming up for our church. And today we've got a conversation around Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 38, and just on this concept that God is for us, and the proof of that is the cross, is the fact that God did not spare even his own son. Such an awesome passage, just about the way that God cares about us, about the way we can trust that no matter what kind of season of life we're in. And Ashley and Justin Cutsinger are our guests today, and we have a great time talking about this passage, what it means for our lives. I can't wait for you to hear it. Let's listen. Ashley and Justin, thanks so much for being on First Look.
Absolutely.
Hey, many people will know you, recognize you at least, but for those who don't, let us know how you're connected to Alderwood.
Yeah, I'm the communications director at Alderwood Community Church. I've been here for 2.5 years now. We've loved it here.
Yeah, so people who are, you know, getting our weekly email, seeing all the visuals in the lobby from the stage, the slides, all that stuff has your handiwork behind it.
Yep. Yeah. My team, yeah.
And Ashley, I bet you came about the same time as Justin.
I did. Yes, and when we came, I was actually pregnant with Elliot.
Yeah,
that's right.
Our second child, yeah.
Which is a great moment in time being pregnant. I miss it.
Yeah. And you are connected to Alderwood yourself, outside of just being married to Justin. What are you doing around Alderwood these days?
Yeah, so some people see me on stage. I get to help with worship, which is a blessing in my life. But I also get to help with MOPS. I'm a co-leader for MOPS, and I'm looking forward to actually leading it this year because of COVID last year, we didn't do it. So.
And when will that begin, hopefully?
The fall, September. Yeah.
Awesome.
Kind of around school.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to both of you for being here. We're going to dive into Romans chapter 8, and the passage is 31 to 38. We've been unpacking every week just a different way that the gospel is good news for us. And man, this passage is so great. I mean, one of the most victorious, hopeful passages in all of Paul's letters. I'm not going to read the whole thing. For those who are listening, if you want to read it yourself, there's a link to it in the show notes, and I encourage you to hit pause and read through the passage. But I'm just going to read for us the first couple of verses, 31 and 32, and it really summarizes, I think, the point of what Paul is saying here. He says this, starting in verse 31, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So Justin, Ashley, as you guys were reading this and thinking about what it means, what came into your mind as you were meditating on this piece of scripture?
Yeah, I think one of the most compelling passages of scripture is the Sermon on the Mount. And when I read this, that's just immediately what came to mind, especially when he talks about, how much more, what does he say? He says, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things on top of Christ?
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of that verse of, if your father's give good things, how much more will God give good things? And that's what he says in the Sermon on the Mount. So.
Yeah, and you're thinking about Matthew 7 there. Mm-hmm. We pulled this passage before we hit record, but, you know, if your son asks for bread, who's going to give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, who's going to give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And yeah, I love that. I mean, just the understanding of God's disposition towards us. And what I think he's saying in Romans 8 here, I mean, in 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And to me, it's just like, Jesus is the proof. If you ever doubt it, if you ever wonder, does he really love me? Does he really want good for me? You know, maybe he's mad at me. Maybe he's brought this terrible thing into my life because he's punishing me or whatever. I think Paul is saying, look at the cross and Jesus, he's the proof. That's not it. God loves you. He wants good for you. And I love that promise.
I also look at it as like Jesus is the motivation to that. When, you know, you spoke about our hope, our future hope. And when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, he's outlining the kingdom and he says, blessed are the poor, they'll inherit the kingdom. And he's like setting up how we live now and what we look forward to. And it's like Jesus, I feel like Romans 8 kind of describes the motivation behind why we live that way.
I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, you think about like the Sermon on the Mount, and honestly, a lot of Paul's letters, there are instructions on how to live, you know, like do these things, don't do these things. You know, sometimes we kind of boil Jesus down to, he just says love, but he has some pretty specific things that he says about lust, about money, about, you know, all these kinds of ways of life. And when you talk about the motivation, I think that's huge because Jesus isn't teaching us how to follow him because, you know, he just expects us to hit every checkbox, do all the right things, and then he'll love us. Mm-hmm. It's not that. That's not the motivation. The motivation is he loves us. He wants good for us. If you believe that about him, then hopefully you believe that the things he asks you to do are for your good as well. Like all the commands are for your good. Because he loves you, he tells you how to live.
Yeah, when you say that, it makes me think God is setting us up for success, really. He's giving us the guidelines on how to live, and what he has for us is good and, mm-hmm. and perfect.
Yeah, and that really helps me. I mean, it's so easy to see, often looking in hindsight, that when you've been in a season where you've been kind of walking away from the Lord or doing something that you knew wasn't what he had for you, like you can look back and see, man, that really messed up my life. That wasn't good. I shouldn't have been doing that. It's much harder for me to look into the future and say, okay, I know God loves me. I know he wants good for me. So even though I would rather not do what he's asking, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him that following him is actually what's the best thing for my life. And I think that motivation can help with that in some ways. As we think about just this idea, God is for us. Jesus proves it. Nobody can be against us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That promise is such an awesome promise in Scripture. Where do you think that has mattered most in your life? Like what kind of situations, what kind of circumstances, what kind of seasons in life is it really important for you to remember the truth of what Romans 8 is saying to us? Ashley, do you have anything from your life that makes you think about that?
Yeah. So in 2011, I went to China to teach and I was supposed to be there a whole year and that definitely did not happen.
Yeah. What were you going to do? What was that you're going to be like?
Teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to be teaching little kindergartners. Actually, it was an international school, so I had all kinds of different backgrounds and nationalities in my classroom. And I had a translator in my classroom and everything. It was really, really neat. And I only got to do it for a month. Long story short, the school was actually built on a business first, not an educational foundation. So it was a little rocky. Okay. So long story short, I ended up having to leave because they were asking for my passport, taking it away from me. And I just did not feel comfortable doing that. And a third of us teachers, including the vice principal, ended up having to leave. And it was very, very, very hard. Not only for me, but just the idea of having to do things perfectly, just always kind of being raised that way, or at least feeling like I need to be perfect, even that might not have been my family's intent.
Well, I just feel like that would have been so hard. I mean, certainly you're going to China for a year. Yeah. I'm sure you're telling everybody in the world that you know that this is happening, right? I mean, I'm going to be there for a year. We're doing
everyone
this thing.
Knew.
And then a month later you're coming home and you have to face all those same people.
Exactly.
And they're like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Why are you back?
I was committed and I felt like I almost went through a little bit of depression a little bit from that. Cause I had this idea of what I was supposed to be doing. So yeah, they were wondering what happened. And, I had to go with the conviction. I prayed about it a lot before I left too. I just had to go with that conviction of like, this is not right. It's not, you know, I don't believe it was what God would want me to do is stay here and work illegally. Cause that's, and that's pretty much what it was, working there illegally. So, coming back from that and just trusting that God had something for me, and because he is for me, right? So of course he's going to provide something. And I actually got to meet this guy. Really? I met him, yeah, like not even a month after I got back from coming home. There was a full-time position that was split into two. He took one part-time position and I took the other one, and we met each other.
That's a pretty cool thing.
And yeah, so God knows. He knows, you know, he has that.
But yeah, so I just imagine like how hard it must have been for you to come back from China and know that you had to face people who had expectations of what you were doing, and just to wonder, you know, what do these people think of you coming back? Yeah. Are, you know, do they think that you wussed out? Do they think that you couldn't take it? Do they think, I mean, I don't know what would have gone through your mind. But
yeah, those are all the things that were going through my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, she just gave up, or, you know, oh, it must have been too hard, so she came back. But that wasn't it at all, you know. But, you know, you never know what other people are going to think about your own circumstances. They can come up with what they think might have happened, but
And you can't control it either.
No.
And I think, I resonate with that so much, because for me, that's when this kind of promise is just what matters, is you have to make the decision. You're either going to live and work for God's approval and trust that he's for you, and that's what matters. You know, you're going to do what he wants, what he expects, what pleases him, or you're going to try to work for the approval of other people. And it's those kind of times when, for me, it's like, okay, I just can't do it. Like, I can't make everybody happy. I can't have my, you know, my image of myself and my satisfaction in my life be based on what they think of me or don't think of me or whatever. And that's where like a promise like this is just so life-giving, to say, okay, God is for me. If I'm walking with Jesus, if I'm doing the best I can to honor him, God is for me. That has to be enough for me.
That was exactly it for me.
Yeah. Justin, what about you? As you think about like when this kind of, this promise is especially meaningful to you, what comes to mind from your life?
Well, I know in being kind of in college years, I used to deal with just huge anxiety and just like gut-wrenching fear of just messing up my life and making decisions that would just completely screw up my life. And I don't know, like I would worry about which school I'm going to. Am I going to the right school?
What decisions were you making at that point?
I was looking at just starting college and just feeling like, am I picking the right major? Like I'm going into graphic design, and is that really what I should do? And am I going to the right school? And I would just have like complete anxiety about like making the right decision about that, to where I would just feel sick about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened, but there was just a point where the Lord just spoke to me, and I realized that as long as I'm after his will and focused on him, that he was, he's got me and he's directing my path.
You're not going to mess up your life because you went to the wrong school or declared the wrong major or any of that. Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, I was in the high school ministry here for a number of years, and I mean, that is everybody's experience. And I think it really hits you for the first time in that transition from high school to college, because suddenly you have to make these like big commitment decisions that, you know, have a long lasting impact. But that never really goes away. I mean, at some point you got to decide, do I leave my job and take this new one? Do we have kids? How many kids do we have? Where do we live? Do we buy this house? I mean, you know, it just never ends. And sometimes decisions work out, sometimes they don't. But what this promises is that, you know, your relationship with God and his involvement in your life is not hanging in the balance based on some decision. I really think people struggle with that. Like, I think often the question is this God's will for my life? Mm-hmm. You know, is going to this school God's will for my life? And I honestly just think we don't have answers to that most of the time. I think we know God's will is that we walk with Jesus, that we honor him, that we put him first, that we love our neighbors ourselves. I mean, that's God's will for our life. in all the other stuff, it's not going to separate you from him. I mean, that's the, we didn't read this part, but like the end of this verse, you know, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
And he didn't say no matter what school you go to, but I think it's implied, right? So, that's so big. And in this passage, you know, Paul really, he kind of goes to times of suffering where this is really important, where, you know, he quotes from the Old Testament, God's people who are saying, for your sake, we face death all day long. You know, this time of the enemy having, you know, victory over God's people. And, you know, Paul brings up hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sore. I mean, these times when we really do go through suffering in life. And I do think that those are seasons where it can be especially difficult to believe that God is for you. Have you guys had any seasons of that where you've gone through some kind of tough season and you've had to really wrestle with the fact that God is for you, that he loves you, that he has good things for you?
What do you think?
I mean, marriage.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to say it or am I going to say it? But yes, marriage. I feel like especially our first year of marriage was, I guess, a year of suffering in some ways, you know, because you're just figuring each other out. The idea of me having those unspoken expectations on him and getting frustrated that he's not doing those things that I never asked him to do. Like,
I love you saying that, and I hope that all the single people who listen to this podcast will pay attention, because I mean the two things that you just associated, I asked you about tough seasons in life and you said marriage. I think the part of the reason why that's so hard for us is because before we get married, I think we all have this expectation that like marriage is when you've arrived to the good old days. Like it's like this is when your problems are fixed and you know there's just bliss and happiness and you ride off into the sunset and then that's the end, you know, like. And you're saying that wasn't totally the case. I'm sure there was aspects of that for you when you got married, but not the whole story.
No, it's not. And, you know, on top of that, we were struggling financially, just having jobs that just didn't quite pay as much as we maybe thought we were getting paid. I don't know how we thought that we would.
Did they trick you? Did they?
Yeah, right? Like, we sit down, look at it, we're like, oh, this is not what we were thinking. Us two coming together, you know, that we should have more here. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that was all that, I guess, suffering. I don't even want to really call it, like, you know, everyone's suffering is different. But it was so, so good for us because we were able to rely on the Lord and see him at work in our marriage and in just financially, like being able to find the free food that we needed to make it that month. Or, I don't know, just being blessed by a friend, even like, oh, you had no idea how much we needed that meal, or you buying us like laundry detergent, like, you know, just those things that we needed showed up. And it was so cool to see God at work. And like, he is for us. He has the best in mind. Like I was reminded of, you know, how much, you know, he takes care of the birds. Like the birds don't have to worry about anything. Yeah. They're taken care of. Therefore, we shouldn't. He loves us so much. So we were just able to see that in our first year of marriage, just being taken care of. And it really helped us draw close to him and each other. We were just able to work through so much and see things in each other that needed work. Yeah, and that is why marriage is a good thing.
It is.
Well, I think that's what's so crucial to seeing God as for us, mm-hmm. is seeing his acts at work in our lives and pointing to those times where God worked on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go through those difficult times, we remember those times. You know, God just always made a way. We were in a place at one point where we had a really bad experience with a landlord.
Mm-hmm.
And we were visiting family in Texas and found out that we were coming home and going to have to leave.
Wow.
Pretty much right away.
Hard.
And so we're thinking, where in the world are we going to live? And I think we were making phone calls and we had some friends that were flipping a house. And they said, it's kind of in bad shape, but you can live there.
Yeah.
And so you know, we live, we had a place to transition to somewhere else.
Okay, really quick. So bad that a rat, Justin found a rat in our kitchen, and it was, yeah.
I was making coffee, and it ran across my feet.
We were only there for 2 months until we found something else. Mickey I just Mouse. Needed to get that in. Cause,
so it was in pretty bad shape.
It was in pretty bad shape. Yeah. It was livable, but yeah. When we were only there for like a month, I think. So, you know, there's things like that where we were really in need, and God just provided. So you can just look to those things.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love you bringing that up. I think, and you did mention that when we think about suffering, it is always hard. I mean, I think it's easy to look at some of the suffering that we see in the world and recognize that most of us living in America today, following Jesus, we don't see anywhere near the suffering that many other groups of Christians around the world have, and certainly throughout time. And that's true. Suffering is still real. And I think, like, your ability to believe this promise and your commitment to this truth that God is for you, in my mind and in my life, like, it's the difference between being able to get anything out of suffering or not. You know, like, if I believe that God's for me, even when I'm going through something hard, I can, by the power of the Spirit, have the ability to have some faith to look for what God's up to look for some way that he's causing me to grow or to challenge me, to make me more like Jesus, to increase my hope, my faith, something, you know. But if you can't believe that, if you see suffering as kind of God being against you, then I think often suffering just, it doesn't actually have that sanctifying effect. It kind of, it turns you into a bitter kind of person, you know? And so I think it's so big, to really believe this truth, even when it doesn't feel like it all the time.
Yeah. When you said that, I thought of really it's hopelessness.
Hopelessness,
if that's the right way to say that, but yeah, being hopeless, if you're not seeing what God is able to do in that suffering.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, I think, you know, the other thing, since we do live in America and, you know, we're the wealthiest nation on earth that has the highest level of standard of living of any group of people that have ever existed on planet Earth. The other thing I think about this is that it's easy to think of God being for us as being the same as things always work out. You know, like, God being for you means that you will have enough money, you will live in a great place, you know, the job that you want, you will get, the, you know, the tough situation at work will turn around, you know, like, that's what it means. And it really isn't that. Like, there's no promise in here that suffering is going to be temporary, going to go away, going to not happen. I mean, like, that's one of the things that I don't think we think about often enough. And like, that in the end of this passage where he's talking about, you know, death and life, angels and demons, you know, any power, height, depth, all that stuff. It's not that those things don't happen. It's not that, I mean, you might die. You know, you might, have demonic oppression in your life. You might have these terrible things happen. It's not that they don't happen. It's that it won't separate you from God's love for you. God is still going to be present. He's still going to be with you in that. He's going to be working for your good, which is the passage from last week. And I think that's important for us to remember in the States today, as we can get kind of used to having a bunch of good things and things working out most of the time. And that's certainly not everybody's story, but for some of us, that's not the sign of God's love, you know. In some ways, I think it actually can make us apathetic and keep us from relying on God in some important ways. So, absolutely. Yeah. Well, hey, we got to wrap things up. It's already that time. We're gonna study this passage together on Sunday and worship together as we come together on campus. And for some people, we'll be worshiping online with us. As people hear this passage and we preach on it, what's just one thing that you hope somebody would walk away from? Some hope from this passage, some truth that they'd cling to. What's your hope for people?
I think I would just hope that people would recognize the things that God has done in their life as anchors for who he is, and that they would just know that God is for them. Like you said, no matter good or bad, he never changes. He's for us.
And I think another thing that comes to mind is to look for God in the suffering. Kind of like what you were saying. Yeah. I thought that was so beautiful. Like, you have to, if we do believe that God is for us, then yes, in that suffering, he does have something for us, whether we can see it or not, just to have that, you know, hope that he is working it out for our good.
Yeah, and you know he's there. He hasn't left. So if you look for it, you're going to find it. He is at work. So yeah, I love that. Well, thank you both. This has been awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, I don't know what kind of season in life you are going through right now, but whether it's a good one or a difficult one, I hope that the truth, the promise of this passage, that God, your Father, is for you. He loves you. Jesus is the proof, hopefully the only proof that you will ever need of God's care for you. I hope that's an encouragement to you in this moment in life. And we're going to worship this Sunday around this very text. And I hope that you'll join us on Sunday morning here at Alderwood. Until then, let's keep following Jesus together.